Welcome to The Impact Factor, how to get noticed, motivate millions, and make a difference in a noisy world.
Ken MacArthur, what can I say about Ken MacArthur other than Ken has become a good friend?
You know a great person when you meet him, and I just want to tell you, he's a great man.
He has amassed a number of experts to speak to you.
Ken is one of those guys that as soon as you meet him, he just draws you in, almost like a grandfather with a chocolate bar and you're a little kid.
And then Ken's also like the mother bird that he pushes you out of the nest even when you think you're not ready to fly, and you actually do fly. So thank you, Ken, for pushing me out of the nest.
All you have to do is just do a Google search on Ken MacArthur, and you can see the amazing reputation this man has.
Hey folks, Ken MacArthur here, and welcome to episode number 8 of our podcast series, The Impact Factor. Way back in episode number 6, we were talking about creating your dream list, you know, a list of 100 things that are your dreams. Yes, I'm talking about an actual written list, and hopefully you've put that together. At first, it was probably easy for you, but eventually it gets a little bit tougher, and hopefully you didn't put any value judgments on your dreams. It doesn't matter if they're good dreams, they're your dreams. So just think of it as an I want list, and when you get down to the I really want to stop writing this list, you can quit. If you haven't put together your list, put this podcast on hold and try writing out a list of your own dreams, 100 of your own dreams, and then we're going to do some things with that today. So after you have your list, scan through it and start asking the question, why is this on my list? Many things on your list may have almost nothing to do with what you really want. One rule of human nature is that we're sidetracked trying to pursue things that are unrelated to our goals just to get what we really want. I suggest that you go straight for what you want, not the things that you think you need to get there. Okay, so now you have a list, and you've done some thinking about why those dreams are on your list. Scratch off any that aren't the real goals in your life. Here are two obvious examples that you probably already know. Money does not equal happiness. Or, marriage does not equal love. So if your real goal is happiness, don't put down make $1 million. And if your real goal is being loved, don't put down get married. The list is your own. Don't put my dreams on your list. But here are some areas to consider. Artistic, career, education, family, financial, health, pleasure, public service, religious. Maybe dream about what you want to give. When you start making your list, you may be tempted to dream about things that you can get, but also think about what you can give. There's no greater reward than giving. You don't have to wait until you've met all of your other goals before you start giving either. Now all you have to do is condense your real dreams into concise goals and take 5 specific actions to move closer to your goal. Now remember, goals should change constantly. Over time, my purpose in life has changed. The scope of what I'm doing right now is beyond my original goal of helping people earn a decent living. Now I'm trying to help people make a positive impact, change lives, and make a difference in the world. If your goals aren't changing, then you aren't growing. So make sure that you take the time to redefine, replace, and revise your goals constantly. You can always make them better than they are today.
Hi, it's Charlie Seymour Jr. of the VideoMarketingGuys.com, and you're listening to Ken MacArthur's podcast, The Impact Factor. Now listen closely to this guy. He's someone who can aim you in the right direction, give you the path, push you toward your goal. He's all about impact. You want to pay attention to him. He's also a great connector. Ken MacArthur, The Impact Factor.
Here's a scary secondary thought for you. We become what other people tell us we are. Now that's a scary thought, but the problem is that it's true. If enough people tell us how awful we are, then we come to believe it. So what's the cure? Surround yourself with positive, successful people. I can't emphasize this enough. If you have a negative spouse, boss, or friends, and you just can't bring yourself to get rid of them, find a bunch of people who are cheerful, positive, and happy to be around with, and spend the majority of your time with them. If you don't, you die on the vine. When I first started my internet business, I talked to the pastor of my church. No, I wasn't looking for spiritual advice. I was looking for people. Frankly, I had a big problem. I was sitting at my desk moments before I got my freedom. My mind wandered across my life, and I was scared and excited in the same breath. I had moved reluctantly into my 50s, knowing that I'd found my Peter principle level. I'd finally risen to the level of my incompetence. For the last few years, I'd been a software developer for a small company that wrote forecasting and logistical software for Pepsi all over the world. Pepsi had been using this tiny company for the last 10 years to create the systems that made sure that cans and bottles of Pepsi were distributed in a way that made sure that just enough Pepsi and just the right packaging was delivered with the least amount of freight possible. It was important work. After all, freight cost was a huge percentage of the total cost of a can of Pepsi, and our software could predict better than any single human exactly what products Pepsi should produce, how much, and when it should be delivered from what location. The software hadn't changed much over the years. The core of the system was 10 years old, developed for the DOS operating system, and the world was moving into Windows. It was now officially an antique, even though it had been updated constantly for years. I love learning and trying new things, so I was put in charge of developing a new version of the software that would take advantage of all the new features of the operating system and save our contract with Pepsi. Was a heady, exciting time for me as I helped move the company into the future. There was the amazing experience of the creation of the new interface. Then there was the tense thrill of presenting the software to the executives of a Fortune 100 company. There was hope and excitement in the air as we waited to see what Pepsi had to say about our work. Pepsi told us that the software system looked great and then decided to wait. Suddenly, the work was done and the future was very uncertain. I knew that Pepsi was talking with Oracle and HP, among other giant software development companies. The small company that I worked for only had 3 programmers. Pepsi didn't say yes, and they didn't say no. They waited, and after a while, the future didn't only seem uncertain, it started to feel bleak. The company that I worked for was a one-customer company. Oh, sure, we had a few other clients. We sold our software to some tea companies and Dr. Pepper, but if you really looked at the sales numbers, we had one customer, Pepsi, and they were waiting. I was in my 50s and making the best salary that I'd ever made in the most important position that I'd ever held. In many ways, I felt on top of the world. I enjoyed being the only programmer in the company that really understood the power of the new system. I loved taking something from scratch and building it into world-class software. It was inspiring, it was fun, and before it seemed possible, we finished the software. It was done, or maybe it was me. I needed that healthy salary to live in one of the nicer suburbs of Philadelphia. My daughters were headed to college, finances were tight, and my skills were starting to feel a little dated. As much as I wanted to learn new things, I couldn't seem to keep up with the pace of the steady stream of young people. Fresh out of spending the last 4 years studying the new stuff full time, while I spent my time building new systems. I knew that I had them beat in the experience, but my boss could hire a fresh college graduate for a fourth of my monthly expenses, and I was nervous, thinking the boss would soon figure out that fact. We had almost finished the software, and I knew that the next 10 years would be spent on polishing and fine-tuning, even if we did get the contract. I was looking for freedom, but there were a few obstacles. Picture this. I'm working at a well-paying job, but life is not secure at all. The company that I'm working for has one big client, and that client is going to think for the next 6 months about reviewing their contract. Ever been in a job that wasn't totally secure? Well, there's more. I'm getting up towards that wonderful golden age in my business career. That means that I was earning at the top of my earning potential. But who would you hire? A rapidly aging guy who wants enough money to support a wife and 3 kids, 2 of whom are headed for college soon, and you know how much that costs. Or a bright 20-something who just spent the last 4 years of his life devoted to learning the greatest and latest new things and will work for a quarter of what that rapidly aging person needs. I start thinking about the internet. I think I want my own online business. In fact, I really like that picture. No commute, no boss, lots of freedom, easy cash. Oh yeah, and by the way, I have a really realistic wife. She's not totally convinced. In fact, let's just say she is downright skeptical. You see, by that time, she had known me for more than 25 years, and she had managed to figure out every single flaw that this old man has. You know all of those tests that people give you to say whether you are the business owner type? Let's just say that I had to fudge a few answers to get a passing score. Come on, admit it. Someone has at least hinted at the idea that you can't achieve your goals in life. It happens to everyone. It certainly happened to me. It turns out that it's much easier to convince people that you are a failure than to convince them that you will be a success. All I need to do is convince someone important to me that I am completely unemployable. Not so hard to do. After I spend a few months convincing my wife that I'll never be able to get a job again, we come to an understanding. I can go into business if I don't spend a dime on the business, I don't go into debt, I don't make anything less than I am at the current job, I make sure my income never goes below my current income level. Okay, that seems like a plan to me. Well, don't even hint that this is a good way to go into business. My first thought was, she's absolutely right. I have to be completely nuts to go into business. My second thought was, I need to talk to Blake. Let me tell you a little bit about Blake Blakesley. Blake has a number of roles in my life, but before anything else, Blake is a friend. We met over a decade ago when Blake became the pastor of the church that I attend. I still remember the first time that I talked to him in his office shortly after his arrival. Blake's about my age. We shared an interest in music and a love of movies. We talked together easily, and our attitudes and our love of people were similar. Blake seemed like a person I would like to get to know as a person, not just as a pastor. Maybe I spoke up because I was the son of a minister and knew a little bit about the demands that a congregation could make on a new pastor. Maybe it was just my personal interest in Blake the person, but something at that time prompted me to say, if you need a friend, I'm available. Now, Blake looked at me a little bit strangely, and I realized quickly that the last thing a new pastor needs is an offer of friendship coming from someone he had just met. There were hundreds of people clamoring for Blake's attention, and probably the thing that he needed first was peace and quiet. But despite my first awkward attempt to become Blake's friends, over the years we spent a lot of time together, and eventually we became true friends. Blake was my pastor, but he soon became my boss. The choir director and organist for our church left after many years of service, and I stepped in as the director of music. Suddenly, Blake is my pastor, my boss, and my friend. Isn't life complicated? I didn't go to Blake because he was my pastor, but talking to the pastor was a good move. Whether you're looking for knowledge or building your influence, look at the existing networks of people you want to reach and identify key people within those networks who can help you to spread the word or help you gain crucial knowledge that you need to make effective action. in my local community. My only network was my church, and Blake was the key influencer within that network. He was also an important connector. Blake knew people that could help and quickly suggested that I talk to two key business people who were members of my church. Blake didn't really tell me much about their background. It was a good thing I didn't know exactly how successful they were before I met them. If I had known, I wouldn't have been brave enough to meet them, much less present my disaster of a business plan. You see, Edwin Johnson founded the company that developed the original 401k plan. Yes, that one, the one you know. And Michael Wirt founded one of the largest direct marketing advertising agencies in the world. Both had taken their companies public for millions. However, their success wasn't what made Mike and Ed so valuable for me. It was their giving spirit. Mike and Ed were simply wonderful people who were willing to spend precious time meeting with an over-the-hill programmer with a job security problem. Ed Johnson and Michael Wirt turned out to be two of the most positive, creative, and supportive people on the earth. Despite being extremely busy and successful business people, they went out of their way to help me create my dream when all the signs indicated that I was a disaster case on a doomed mission. Repeatedly, they told me that I could do it if I set my goals and put my plans into action. I don't think that I ever heard Ed or Mike talk about being decent, but I wouldn't be on this podcast if it weren't for both of those two decent men and their attitudes about giving, life, and business. It might be extraordinary if they only did this for me, but I wasn't the only person that they were helping. There were dozens, if not hundreds, of other people who these two men helped over the years. Eventually, they helped to form a business group at our church to aid the huge number of people that were already helping on a one-to-one basis. I can't imagine how they kept up. The new group allowed me to meet a very special collection of people at all stages of their business development that shared ideas for a number of years and are friends to this day. It also spawned ideas for working together to grow our lives that inspire me to this day. The most important thing that Mike and Ed taught me was the impact that a single individual can make by taking simple little actions that really make a difference. So I'm going to suggest today that you take a minute to surround yourself with positive, successful people, because people are the secret to your success. Be sure and subscribe to this broadcast on iTunes. Download the recording, stuff it in your file of learning materials, and let's make an impact together.
This is my first introduction to Ken, and I have to say I think he's an absolutely phenomenal individual. He has felt like he has held my hand, even though he really hasn't, to try and help me move forward in my projects that I'm working on. His caring demeanor is absolutely astonishing.
I would like to highly recommend that you check out Ken MacArthur and anything that he has to offer. Ken has given me some awesome advice. In fact, I consider Ken a legend in the internet marketing arena, and I go to him anytime I'm about to launch a new product or if I need marketing advice or strategic advice. I go to Ken first because I know that his advice is gold. It's pure gold. So make sure that you pick up anything that Ken has to offer. Get to an event of his. You're going to learn a ton from this man. Highly recommended.
And I just want to say that if you ever have a chance to meet Ken MacArthur in person, you have to take that chance. Just drop whatever you're doing, take time off from work, and just go to whatever event he is hosting, because it's just an incredible experience.
The latest and greatest information is always available at kenmacarthur.com.